Good morning. We have 19 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time is 8:50, and it's time for the pre-opening market report on WYLL with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. consumers increased their spending at retail businesses in December. Retail sales rose 0.5% in December from November, a 1.6% jump in sales of autos and auto parts led all categories. Meanwhile, the Labor Department today says that falling food and gas costs pushed down U.S. wholesale prices last month for the third month in a row. The producer price index dropped 0.2% in December. That follows a decline of 0.8% in November. The index measures price changes before they reach the consumer. Excluding food and energy categories, core wholesale prices ticked up 0.1% in December. The White House announced yesterday that Tom Vilsack will keep his job as head of USDA for a second term under President Barack Obama. Vilsack was the mayor of Mount Pleasant, Iowa, before being elected to the Iowa State Senate. He then served two terms as the governor of Iowa before ascending to USDA secretary. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 13,472. It's down 35 points. The NASDAQ 3,095, down 21.5. The S&P 500, 1465. It's down 5.5 points.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Dry weather occurred across most of the Midwest in the past 24 hours, ending this long period of wet weather that has impacted the region for a while. The precipitation that occurred over the weekend brought up the river levels on the Ohio River system as well as a portion of the middle Mississippi River basin. Looks like as we go through this next 5 to 7 days, we'll see a reversal of this trend with net decline in river levels. And barge traffic restrictions are going to continue with us across some areas. Most of the increase on the middle Mississippi, by the way, was south of St. Louis. There's been no change of significance for areas to the north. If anything, a further decline in some of the river levels there. The outlook for precipitation across the Midwest, the Plains, and a portion of the Northern Delta is rather dry now for a good 10-day period. Some of the Northern Delta will see a little bit of precipitation yet today, but the bulk of today's moisture will occur from the lower delta into Virginia. We'll look for some additional ice accumulations to occur in parts of Arkansas and Mississippi, and that general region is going to have some travel issues and some power outages that will continue. But once this system is out of the way, we should be dry in the lower delta as well as the southeastern corner of the country as we move on through the weekend and into next week. The far southeastern corner of the country will pick up on precipitation mostly Thursday into Friday. Hard red winter wheat country was cold enough for some concern about damage this morning, but there was snow on the ground in most areas that fell below zero. I don't believe there's any reason to be concerned about crop damage this past week, with the last two nights being the coldest here recently. We will see returning cold air to the middle of the country as we move into the weekend and next week. In fact, the cold will be rather significant, and we should see temperatures in the northern plains and upper Midwest dropping into the negative teens and negative 20s. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see an extreme low of around minus 30 near the Canada border in northern Minnesota. This would occur during the first half of next week. The cold will probably bring sub-zero temperatures down into Missouri and Illinois eventually, and we could see a risk of citrus country in Florida running a potential for frost and freezes at least during the second half of next week from the 23rd into the 25th. Outside of this event, I don't think there's going to be much else to talk about across the heart of the country. Precipitation will be quite minimal. We do expect some brief periods of snow to occur from the Dakotas into Michigan, and when the coldest air settles into the heart of the Midwest, we'll probably see some snow work its way down into the heart of the region, but only as a very brief event with light accumulations expected. the moisture potential in the atmosphere is relatively low now that the colder air will be overtaking a big part of the country. But once the cold air begins to abate, we should open the door for opportunity for more precipitation to begin. This is something that will occur at the end of the cold surge late next week going into the following weekend. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see a storm system beginning to evolve at that point and spreading moisture back across parts of the lower eastern Midwest, the Delta, maybe even a small part of the southeastern plains. But that's getting a little speculative at this point. We'll wait and see how things end up occurring behind the cold surge. That's pretty much it this morning. If you're interested in South America weather, be aware that Argentina does have a ridge of high pressure over it, and drying conditions will occur in Argentina for a good week to 10 days. This is not expected to last long enough to permanently reduce production potentials, but with that comment made, it's important to note that the ridge has to break down at the end of next week to keep those comments valid. Any persistence of the ridge of high pressure beyond the end of next week would be detrimental to production potentials. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and look at the overnight electronic trade in Kansas City. March wheat, 829 and 3/4, up 6 and a quarter. July, 847 and 3/4, up 7. March wheat in Chicago, 774, up 7. July, 785 and a quarter, up 8 and a quarter. March corn, 727, up 3. July, 717, up 3. December, 585, up 1. March soybeans, 1428 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. Now 28 even, up 10. July, 1405 and a half, up 6 3/4. November, 1293 and 3/4, up 7 1/2. March soybean meal, 419.20, up 170. March soybean oil, 50.82, up 37. February live cattle, 130.45, up 10. January feeders, 149.07 1/2, down 37 1/2. And February lean hogs, 85.20, down 2 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Some follow-through from yesterday, although if you look at soybean contracts, they have been as much as, as I'm looking at, 8 1/4 cents higher in the March contract.
Well, they have been up to 36 1/4, which
right.
That was up 18. And in at 5 this morning, they were down 5 to 10. So, I mean, they've had quite a day since 5 this morning. And at 725 and a half, some large area for corn, if they go below it, we could go lower. If they stay above it, we could have another round of buying.
When you look at the summer corn, why is it not tagging along? And does it have to tag along in order to encourage producers to plant this 99 million acres that Informa is suggesting will go into the ground in the spring?
Well, I don't know about farmers changing their minds now. We had a great fall and lots of things got done, so I don't know how much more they can change anything right now. But it doesn't have to go along at all. Old crop is what's tight. New crop, if we grow tons of acres or have a regular 165 yield, we'll have fours in front of it. So it's the new crop is different from old crop. It's a different entity. It doesn't have to go anywhere that the old crop goes.
So you think that for the most part producers have made their spring decisions?
Sure. I mean, look at the fall we had. People got done, they put their anhydrous on, they put this on, they put that on, and I think it's normally that way, that there's only about a 5% switch at the most, I mean, by any one farmer of, well, I'll leave this 80 blank this fall, or I'll leave this 40. They don't make decisions in May. They made them mostly last fall.
So both corn and beans have made essentially 50% retracements of their declines, their most recent decline. Which would you have more optimism about continuing the upward trend?
I would probably be with the corn just because of South American corn's about out, where South American beans are going to start being heavily around by the end of February. They're around a little now, but when their harvest really gets going, that bean will shove ours lower.
Thank you much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart debates commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Your current tick, March corn at 727 and a quarter is up 3 1/4. July is 716 and 3/4, up 2 3/4. December is 584 and 3/4, up 3/4. March soybeans, 1428, up 10. July, 1405 and a quarter, up 6 1/2. November's 1293 and a quarter, and it is up 7. March soybean meal, 419.20, up 170. The May is 412.80, up a dollar. March soybean oil is 50.84, up 39. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.